and get started. So we're at chapter 6 of the book of Galatians. So this is the last chapter of the book of Galatians. So I'm going to pick up and I'm just going to start reading at verse 1. Okay. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own works. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. All right, so Paul, in the space of 3 sentences, says completely contradictory things.
That's what I thought. Yes.
Bear one another's burdens, but all must carry their own loads. And you read that and you go, dude, really? Pick one. But actually, what he's saying is kind of 2 sides of the same coin. If someone is having a hard time, is struggling with the faith, is struggling with their lives, it is our job as members of the community to come around and lift them up. But in terms of doing the work of the faith, do your own work. Don't worry about your neighbor's work. Do your own work. And you'll hear these 2 things back and forth through all of the letters of Paul. The first one is, concentrate on yourself. Do your own work. Take care of your own sins. And if you spend your time doing that, you won't have time to worry about how your neighbor is sinning. But if your neighbor needs help, part of your work is to support your neighbor.
What does he mean by test?
That means look at how you're doing living out your faith.
Okay.
So judge yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so to so
out of your eye first.
That's right. So to put this in a modern Christian context, it's your job to judge yourself about how well you're doing in obeying the commandments of God. But if your neighbor's having a problem, you have to make them a casserole. Okay? So,
as opposed to preaching and judging, you're saying that this
right.
is not, which, what he's saying is
I'm sorry, I lost your question, Linda. Try it again.
It's instead of preaching and
right.
more like a court of if someone should come to you and say, I have to try to make a decision what I should do.
Right, exactly. Or if maybe a better example is if you've noticed somebody hasn't been at church in a while, reach out to them and ask what's going on. You know, but support your neighbor and judge yourself, I guess, is the what Paul is saying here. And that's not a bad lesson for us even today, to remember the ways that those are supposed to fit. All right, other questions about this? Okay, I'm picking up at verse 6, for those of you who are reading along. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. I'm going to stop there and say what that means is you're responsible for supporting the people who spend their time learning the word to teach you. So, you know, pay your pledge. In modern... That's my stewardship committee plug. I'm done now.
Corruption for commercial messages.
That's right. Now, picking up in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those in the family of faith. The point of this is that compassion fatigue is not just a modern phenomenon, right? Remember that these people are believing Jesus is coming back tomorrow. So when it takes a month, now they're getting tired. Because really living into loving Jesus and loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself is really hard work. And they're getting tired of it. And so what Paul is doing is reminding them that there's a reason you're doing this. Keep at it. Okay? Jeanette, did you have a question? I thought I saw your hand.
But I missed a few weeks. I take it we're not in Galatians anymore?
We're still in Galatians. We're in chapter 6.
Okay. Question?
Yes, Jeanette.
Verse 8, it says, if you sow to your own flesh. Now,
right.
I assume he means by flesh your own personal selfish, self-centered desires, wants, you know, like you might want riches, you might want
yes.
political control, you might want power,
yes.
not
yes.
just bodily.
That's right. That's right. Remember, we still have...
bodily things, but he means more than that. Right?
Yes, he means more than that. Remember, we still have that Neoplatonic duality between flesh, earth, physical, and spirit, which is perfect. So Paul uses flesh as the placeholder word for the physical, the earthly, the of this world. And you see that he is a Neoplatonist. He's a very well-educated Neoplatonist. And this is where that comes into Christianity. You're watching it happen. Yes, Linda. It's very rare that I read a scripture appointed for Sunday and can't find something that I can hook into, you know, something that's going on in the world today. There are the occasional. It's not this year. It was last year in the lectionary cycle when in the summer we have about 8 weeks where we have portions from John about the bread of life. And so you get Jesus saying, I am the bread of life, I am the true bread that comes down from heaven, I am the bread of the world, you know. And about 7 weeks into that, you're like, I'm done with stuff to say about bread. There is no more to say about bread. But, yeah, no more with the bread, we got it. You're the bread. All right, so now Paul's going to get personal. We're moving into the end of this this reading. And so I'm picking up at verse 11 of chapter 6 for those of you. See what large letters I make when I am writing in my own hand? It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new circumcision is everything. I'm sorry, but a new creation, I should put on my glasses, is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one make trouble for me, for I carry the marks of Jesus branded on my own body. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. So this is Paul's conclusion of the letter. It's possible he has been having a scribe write much of the letter to his dictation, and now he picks up the pen himself for the last couple of words. So he says, you know, see how what large letters I write when I write in my own hand. I'm not that great a penman, maybe. Or just to point out to them that this is actually my own hand.
Did you ever see that experiment where it says write your name in very small print, mm-hmm. see how you feel, and then write your name in very large print, mm-hmm. see how you feel, and it makes a big difference in like how you feel and how you express yourself? I think mm-hmm. you have a very good opinion.
He has a very good opinion. Well, we knew that. That's not new news, right? That Paul thinks highly of himself is not going to be a shocker to any of you. He goes back then to his initial purpose of the letter, which is these people who are trying to convince you that you have to be circumcised in order to be a Christian are not teaching you the true thing. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything. That's not what's important. What's important is following Christ. And then he ends with, from now on, let no one make trouble for me. I think this is as much a hope for his own life as it is telling them to ignore the people who are saying bad things about him. For I carry the marks of Jesus banded on my body, we think that he's referring to, you know, he's been beaten a couple of times. He's got some scars from his journeys. We think that's what he's talking about. That there has been physical damage as a result of him following Christ. Yeah.
You know, now I'm thinking, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, so what if people get circumcised if they come to Christ?
Right.
Is it a power thing that he wants people to listen? Or is it the actual message that he doesn't? It's a fine message he's trying to point at.
It's the actual message. I think if people were just being circumcised because they wanted to be circumcised, he wouldn't care about it. But it was a symbol of a school of teaching that says you have to become Jewish and follow the Jewish law in order to follow Jesus. And Paul saw that quite rightly. As if that's what we're going to teach, then we're not going to spread the message of Christ very widely, because not very many people are going to want to become Jewish to follow Jesus. So this is getting in the way of proclaiming the message of Christ. Yes. Yeah. It was discouraging people from following Christ. Being Jewish, especially in first century Palestine, is a big deal. It's a lot, and he quite rightly figures out that people are not going to do that, and that if that's the first step, then we're going to lose them, and they're not going to hear about Jesus. So, and you see that today. You know, there are one of the discussions we have in the Episcopal Church a lot is that our liturgy, for people who just walk in, particularly who don't have a church background, which is more and more of the people in this country, our liturgy requires a lot to be able to join in and really feel like you're participating. Not just being baptized to receive communion, but, you know, the example I've used a couple of times is, you know, at Eucharist, I break the bread and say, Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And you all say, therefore let us keep the feast, Alleluia. Well, just that phrase to really, you know, join in it, you need to know what the Passover is. How it is that Jesus is connected to the Passover. Why it's a sacrifice, and why it's something we celebrate. That's a lot of knowledge we assume just to be able to join into worship. So it's kind of a high, the image I use is, we have a lot of steps to get in the front door of our church. Not physically, St. Paul's doesn't have a lot of steps, but metaphorically, there are a lot of steps to get in the front door of the church. So, you know, you think about, is that really how we want to do it? But on the other hand, you know, can we create a way for people to come in that has fewer steps? Can we build a ramp somewhere for folk to get in? So, and this is kind of what Paul is saying, is the requiring people to obey all of the Jewish law, first of all, is contrary to the teachings of Jesus. Second of all, you're getting in the way of what Jesus actually told us to do, which is to proclaim to every nation the good news of God. So stop.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then he ends his letter the way he ends a lot of them, asking that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with them. So, and all of the letters we read, there's some kind of a closing like that.
It's also said, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, share your learning with your teacher. Do you feel overwhelmed sometimes from all the people you're sharing?
No, not at all. I mean, I've said before, this is kind of one of the fun parts of my job, is getting to do the deep dives into these things. All right, so this takes us to the end of the book of Galatians. I have a proposal about where we go next that I want your opinions on, and then I want some opinions about where we go. I do need to take a summer break from this, just because I'm going to have to put some time into thinking about what we're going to do in the fall, and that's going to take more creative energy than I have. So I'm going to need to pare back a little bit. Also, I'm going to take some vacation time this summer. We can't finish Corinthians in the week we have left. It's long. So, but my suggestion is next week that we skip two books. We skip 1st and 2nd Corinthians and go to Philemon, which is would be the third book in our, if we were going, as we're going chronologically. Philemon is short, and we can do it in 1 week. And it also has some particular meanings for where we find ourselves as a nation right now. There's some things we can talk about there. So that would then get us... I'm sorry?
I said it's only one chapter.
It's only one chapter long, yes. We can get it done in a week. So my suggestion is that we do Philemon next week, and then in September pick up with 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Romans, which we've got then left of Paul. I'm sorry, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Philippians and Romans. I always forget Philippians. Which will give us, you know, content through the fall, at least for to start for the fall. What do you think? Does that sound okay?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Good.
The other place I want your opinions on is once we finish Paul's epistles, we have a couple of choices. We had talked about a year ago now, when we finished doing Paul's writings, moving on to a study of the concept of evil throughout Scripture, which we can do. The other thing we could do is to push that off a little bit and read the letters that are called pseudo-Pauline that come out of Paul's school, but that aren't written by Paul himself, And those are 2 Thessalonians, Ephesians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Hebrews. And so to do the pseudo-Pauline at the end of our study of Paul, and then go on to the concept of evil, which sounds better to you?
Sounds logical to finish Paul.
I would think so, too.
To go on with Paul's school?
Yeah, that's my idea. Yeah. You can ask for the study on evil. I don't know who wants to represent that. I don't know who asked for that.
That was Art. And he's not going to join us on Zoom. So as long as we're doing... I don't know whether we'll be... we'll have the option of in-person in the fall or not. Maybe not. But we'll certainly continue to have the hybrid option. So we'll keep offering it on Zoom. Even if there are people in the room, we'll still be doing Zoom.
It might be a little depressing, but I think it would be a very interesting study. I would really like to do
it. To do evil? Well, I tell you what, how about we'll finish the Pauline corpus, and then we'll do evil. And that'll give me a direction of my study, which is the other thing I do with our summer break, is do my homework. Oh, you know, I can study the Bible on the beach. It works.
You can at least think about it.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so that sounds like a plan. We'll do Philemon next week. Beginning in September, we'll pick up with 1 and 2 Corinthians, finish the genuine Paul. 1 and 2 Corinthians, Philippians, and Romans. We'll do the pseudo-Pauline epistles, and then we'll study evil.
And that'll be interesting to see if we can kind of detect how people figure that this is pseudo-Paul and not Paul-Paul.
Mm-hmm.
When we get to the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the reflection, but not the identity.
Some of it is very obvious, and some of it is only from datings that we know it wasn't Paul. So you'll see the difference.
Can't see the handwriting.
Whether it's big or little.
That's right. Okay. Well, that sounds like this is a good place to stop then. So we'll do Philemon next week. And I'll see you all. Reading group is Tuesday? Yeah, Linda.
Just want to ask you one question. Would it help you if we read ahead? If we had some sense of what we're reading for, does it help at all?
It depends on whether it helps you. If it helps you to have read it at least once to get a sense of it, go for it.
Thank you.
That's really up to your learning style, what works best for you.
Okay.
Okay?
Very good.
All right.
I'm sorry, I missed last night. I totally forgot.
No worries. You can... The nice thing about the book we're doing, and part of the reason I picked it for reading group, is that you don't have to have... You don't have to be caught up to be able to join in the discussion. The chapters stand by themselves enough that you can join in the conversation, even if you haven't done the book before. Yeah.
Okay.
Last night she could catch up.
Oh, yeah. We only got through chapter 2. We read the prologue chapters 1 and 2, so we didn't get very far. Yeah. Let's see how far we get next week, and then I'll think about whether we're going to skip some. Okay? But the baptism section is really good, so we'll want to read all of that anyway. So, okay? All right. Anything else for the good of the order? No?
Just have a very good day. Stay healthy.
Yeah, thank you.
Compliment Marilyn. We can see her today.
Yes. yes, Marilyn, we see you very nicely, and we can hear you, and... All the technology, man, it only works when it works.
Right. Yeah. And Gigi's okay? She's just not joining because of computer
problems. She's having computer issues. Yeah. And she finds joining in on the phone a little bit difficult. So.
I talked to her once, and I think her computer is like 10 or 11 years old.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I don't think it has capabilities for doing these new modern technologies like Zoom.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. All right.
That was my problem. I had to upgrade my Zoom to
get in. Yep, all the upgrades, man. All the upgrades. All right, well, I will see you all in the next couple of days and next week.
Yeah, good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.